anything to meme us at the beginning with? That sounds about right. It's the stoic stare, the usual Preston look and all that. And Race by Brawl in Tuscaloosa. It's another exciting episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. We have only one guest prior to today that has been on twice, and now that has changed as we have two more guests that are making their return for good reason with the Frozen Hour, as we get to talk with them about Grow the Game, all the exciting things around the hockey side, even though it's the off-season officially for all the teams, and we get to just dig more into the lives of these two incredible colleagues. Welcome to everyone watching or listening around the world. I'm Spencer Thompson, alongside Savannah Prefontaine, Caitlin Manning, as well as Preston McElhinney. Proud to be with you here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Well, as mentioned, Kira Duffany was the only other guest that we had on the show for a second time, and for good reason, because she brought the cup to us to be able to celebrate the CHS title for the women's team, and for very much good reason. First and foremost, congratulations. We're not the first ones to say it. We'll definitely not be the last. To the newest president of Grow the Game, Caitlin Manning, congratulations. I know that it was a great day for you. It was a great day for Savannah and everybody else. And knowing I find it hard to believe there's anyone else more fitting for the role to be able to lead the charge and fill the shoes that Savannah's leaving behind. So congratulations. And I'm sure that you've already started getting really into the weeds on the work side for new position.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. It's been, I feel like this spring semester goes by so much faster than fall. So I officially had the position like early January, I think, but I feel like it's been like 3 weeks actually since that's happened. So definitely a lot of stuff's been moving quick, which has been like exciting and busy too. Savannah's obviously still been a huge help in laying out the foundation for the transition. But we've done a lot of exciting things already. We've had two fundraisers. We've been out to Big Sandy to do a floor hockey unit with them during their PE class, and then they invited us back, and I kind of thought of the idea while we're sitting there, while the kids were playing, to do kind of like a scrimmage night so the parents could come and watch the kids, because a lot of the feedback that we got when we went there was that the kids were going home and like telling their parents that they wanted to sell all their baseball equipment, basketball gear, and they wanted to buy like hockey sticks and stuff, and the PE coach loved it, and all the teachers loved it, and everything was really cool for them. So we really wanted to find a way to have the parents come and see the impact and see how much fun that their kids were having, because it only means so much when they go home and talk about it, but I think really having the parents see them play and seeing the energy in that gym is going to be a really unique thing for them. So we're going to go do that on Thursday, so that should be fun. We're going to have players be the coaches. We're going to split the kids onto two teams. It's grades 3-5, or 3-2-5, so they have similar playing experience, kind of, around the same height. But yeah, it's going to be really cool to have them be like in an actual game scenario, like a bench and everything like that. So I'm excited.
I think she took lessons from you, Savannah, on how to be busy and how to overload her schedule and everything. Because not only do you have all the game stuff, all the scheduling, you also, last week, so we were going to record this episode last week, but at first we were like, yeah, let's do it. We're going to do this. But then Caitlin realized, oh, wait, I've got an amazing opportunity. Now, I love the people at the National Predators.
I don't
know if you got to meet Lindsay Rowley or Bob Cole while you were there, but both incredible people as well as all the broadcast folks. But you got to chat on the PR side and the media side of the National Predators. And not only with you being in the Grow the Game position, but kind of carving out this path in the hockey sports media scene for you to be able to gain more experience and see a well-run organization in the Preds, that had to be incredibly beneficial for you as you head into this next chapter.
Yeah, for sure. Also, it was the communications office, which is the, I also work for the Alabama Athletics Communications Office, which houses every other sport on campus besides hockey. So it was really cool, like the operations and everything were what I do on a day-to-day basis essentially for like the basketball, football team and everything, but I've never had the opportunity to run that in a hockey setting. So I think that was the coolest thing to see how everything would transfer over into another sport that I'm deeply passionate about, and getting the opportunity was obviously amazing. And it was really cool to feel confident and comfortable in a shadowing situation, because I've been working in the communications office for like almost 3 years now, so it's been like my day to day, and so to see that pay off in the hockey world is really cool too. And everyone over there is so nice.
And everyone that I've met at the Preds organization is just incredible, and they're also really open about letting students shadow and get that sort of behind the scenes. I'm sure it also had to feel really good hearing the crowd chants and being there at the game as well, because I grew up south of Nashville for a majority of my life, and there's nothing like Bridgestone Arena. Whenever you're in there for a hockey rink or something, was there a particular chant you loved from the fans?
I like when they score, and then they had what's his name on the he was singing the song.
I forget the country song. I love it. I want some more.
Yeah.
Oh, Steve Earle. Yes. Yeah. If we should have asked him, because the country the artist expert here. I should have just asked
Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw.
Yeah. I really like that. And then also just like how everyone, they've had a rough season for sure, but they won that game. So it really fired everyone up in overtime too. So that was really fun to see everyone leave like with a smile on their face and everything after a tough season.
Yeah, when we shadowed the Preds behind the scenes with Kate and Will and our colleague Mackenzie Kane, and that was a game against the Capitals in January that they lost. Mm-hmm. But we got to see Alex Ovechkin score several goals on his path to his it was already a Hall of Fame career, but now passing, we got to see some of the goals that were on the pathway to him passing Wayne Gretzky, the great and everything. But speaking of greats, you know very well Wayne Gretzky, so yes, man. But speaking of busyness, congratulations to you on getting accepted into the master's program here at Alabama, the MS in sport management as well. And I know several colleagues who have stuck around for another year in either sport management or PR or sports media programs in the master's side, and it's really helped them to not only fine-tune their skills, but it's also helped them to gain even more opportunities. And I know you're stepping away from several of your hockey roles, at least at Alabama, but you're also stepping into the assistant commissioner role with College Hockey South in the women's division. So you're not busy at all, are you? You're still not busy at all. I know things are winding down at least for you, but it has to be really fulfilling that you're able to stay here for another year, but also take on some new chapters in your life.
Yeah, it's been super exciting. Just like going back to what you said about Kate, like staying busy. Ever since I knew Kate, she has always been involved across campus. And just seeing her take part of the game and make it even better than what it was when I was president, it's just, they already had so many stuff going on at Big Sandy. And I'm super excited to be up around for another year, because working with the Division of Community Affairs this next year, I'll be able to assist them with anything they need within the community. So I'm really super excited about that, and just excited to see this new exec do what they excel at and do what they do with the game.
Now, I know getting accepted in the master's program was beyond your control. Same with, me and getting accepted into the doctoral program. As much as we would like to think we could carve our own luck on some ways, it comes down to whether the same yes or no, but I have to commend you, because you're kind of taking the same approach I did with the NSMA chapter, in that not taking another year on as an executive, like through graduation or through the final degree, but I kind of stepped back and took this approach of, well, I need to pass it on to the next generation. I need to make sure that the next people are ready to be successors, and I can still be around for a year. And I can still, help them with advice or guest speakers or anything that they need or want, which I know Grow the Game doesn't really focus on the guest speaker side and the networking side of things. It's more the experience and fundraising and community engagement. But I have to commend you for that, because it's very hard, especially with your babies, to be able to kind of give them off and such. So did you ever think about that? When you were applying for the master program, was there ever a thought of, How do I make sure that I'm present but not as immersed in it, I suppose?
I'm always going to be there to help them out wherever they need, and I'm actually going to be doing my thesis for my master's on Grow the Game. So I have a bunch of professors within the sport management community. They're interested in helping them out, so it's honestly just going to be a way for me to assist them, but just be able to be an open hand where I'm needed anytime, while I can also still focus on school at my graduate assistant position.
I have a feeling Dr. Blakey is involved in that in some capacity, right?
Dr. Blakey is definitely involved in that.
Absolutely love her. She is busy beyond all measure. We say we're busy. She is incredibly busy, and you know this, especially being fully on the sport management side of Langan. Anytime you get to talk to Dr. Blakey is a blessing, but anytime you actually get to catch her on camera, Jaden Watson, our other sport manager guy, he's not as that, like, yes, absolutely. So it's one of the best people on campus, and especially one of the better advisees as well, to kind of guide you through the transitions there. So I'm sure you can talk for hours about how much she's meant to you.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone at Alabama is also just so, so helpful, and I think when people ask me, like, why did you choose Alabama or anything? I think especially for PR and in the sports world here, everyone is so helpful, and I've never met a professor or an older person like Savannah who I've always like looked up to in the sports world. Like, they've never been rude in a sense or anything. We kind of spoke on this last time I was on, but everyone just generally wants everyone to succeed, especially if you're like younger than them. I have now, it's super weird for me with athletics. I'm now going to be a senior next year, so I'm going to be the student leader, and I'm like now sitting in on interviews and interviewing people for these new jobs, which is crazy because I'm also like going through interviews myself right now, so to be on the other side of that is like starting to get weird, but also I had a freshman, she like reached out to me, like just Instagram DM me asking, like, she really is interested in sports and PR and everything, and like she wanted to have a Zoom call with me, like pick my brain, and I was like, oh my god, like I'm so old, like what's going on? Because I really felt like that was literally me. I was doing that like 2 years ago, so that's like crazy to be on the other side of that now. But that's one of the things I love about Alabama. All the professors, all the mentors, all the counselors, everything is so open and helpful, and especially networking. Mr. Little will get you connected any niche of the PR world you want to be. So, yeah, definitely. I've talked about them for hours.
Mike Little, he's the LinkedIn guy as well. He knows what he's doing with the LinkedIn side and networking and all of that. And you're right. It feels so weird whenever you have people reaching out seeking your wisdom and your advice on things where you're like, I was in this position on the other side.
Yeah.
And kind of, but it also is fulfilling to give it back and recognize that you were in that position before and etc. I'm sure, Preston, you can probably talk about what are some of the mentors here at the Capstone that have helped shape you into who you are today.
I think a lot of people here at Reese Piper Hall specifically are some of the people I look to the most, not necessarily in the sports management realm, but just a lot of people in general. Like, I think one of the biggest tools I think I've ever used here is my ability to communicate with other people, and I learned a lot of that through Dr. Shetterly, who was amazing at getting that interpersonal, you know, communication stuff down. So I learned a lot from her, and I can say I learned a lot from everybody here on the team, you know, just from what I've been able to accomplish. I learned a lot from you on the broadcasting side of things, you know, so I can say I've learned a lot from a lot of people from a teamwork standpoint, a communication standpoint, and from just an appreciation standpoint, just for work in general. So
I paid him to say that, by the way. And also, we have to make sure, shout out to Dr. Sadri for allowing Savannah to get out of class a couple minutes early and everything. So
shout out to him, too.
Oh, yeah. He's not just from him being on my dissertation committee, but also being with the NSMA chapter and everything. He's one of those who loves to connect students and get involved, people involved. And it's like Caitlin said about the faculty mentors that are around here at the Capstone. They just have this sort of sense, even though it is a big university and they don't have to take the time with students or anything, there's a lot of them who really care about the success and setting you up for the next phases in that circumstance.
Yeah. I know we mentioned about Mr. Little, so I'm also going to give him a shout out. He's actually our advisor for Grow the Game.
Yep.
So whenever we started up Grow the Game, he was that one professor that was there to just jump right in and just be there, a helping hand. He also helped me get my internship with the Oilers this past summer. So super thankful for him and everybody within the APR community here, and Dr. Bramlett. Dr. Bramlett is always helping me get out with stuff about Grow the Game, so he's awesome.
I tell you, Joshua and Dr. Bramlett, he's incredible, especially because he's new to the university in the last couple of years too, and he's really gone like fully in the trenches and getting involved with students and trying to make sure their success too. He's good people, as are a lot of people within the organization. But
to speaking of Grow the Game, so I know that when you run for a position, and I know Grow the Game is new, and when you're talking about these transition side and you're having formal elections, because believe it or not, as student organizations, we have to elect people. We have to make sure that we get new people in those sides. But Caitlin, I know you were involved as one of the vice presidents on the board for Grow the Game and really got to work along Savannah and the other incredible VPs that are around. What moment did you decide that you wanted to run for the presidency?
I think, well, when I first joined Grow the Game, it was like 3 months after it was founded and created, and I was director of communications. And at the time, I think I was a sophomore. And so that sophomore, end of sophomore year is really when I started figuring out what I wanted to do with my life. So I was like, yeah, I definitely like want to get involved with this, with sports and all this stuff. So having that be like my entry point when it was so new and young, it was still Build-A-Rink at the time. So I've always kind of had like been fully submersed in it and seen the growth in it. And I think going from director to VP was really like a moment where I was like, oh my God, like I really love this. And I really like want to stand behind this organization as it continues to grow, because even from that spring semester to the next fall, it grew in like probably triple in size. And like we had people who weren't even involved with any of the hockey teams wanting to join, which I think was a cool point for all of exec, especially like Savannah, to see that our outreach was bigger than just the people already involved, which is the ultimate goal, is to grow the game for people who don't know anything about it. So seeing that and seeing how many people were involved and interested and wanted to apply to be directors when I was a VP, and also realizing that Savannah and Matt and Maddie and a lot of the VPs were going to graduate, I think that kind of like hit close to home. And I was like, well, I don't want this to go to anyone else. And I was like, I really want to. Me and Savannah talk about this all the time, but like we felt like it was our baby, and like we didn't want to let it go. So it's never been a question or anything. I've always kind of held it close to my heart, but it's been really cool to also being able to work with them for a year and a half and then having them sadly leave. I still feel like that confidence where I could reach out to them whenever if I needed help. And I've seen how Savannah has run it over the last 2 years. So I'm like comfortable with operations and everything of it. So it wasn't really like a question. It was always just kind of a hope, and it happened.
You know, full disclosure, I haven't been to any of the Grow the Game meetings. We had several women's hockey team meetings throughout the year and such. But any social media posts I saw with Grow the Game meetings, those rooms were packed. Like, you had so many students that were immersed in there wanting to learn about the organization, get involved, and get experience. I'm sure that had to be really endearing for you for starting, you know, Grow the Game when it was Build-A-Rink, to see so many students really involved and wanting to help build the rink in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it was honestly just amazing to see, and like Kate said, it was just like seeing students in there that like weren't involved with the hockey teams really just like made us realize like, wow, we're actually like doing something here, we're actually like making an impact. And funny story, the first Grow the Game meeting, I actually met Gabby Cedar Johnson. And that's kind of how we got her to join the team. She was like, are you guys still getting her to join the team? And I was like, yeah. So just like those meetings and then those small interactions like you have with people throughout those meetings, it just means a lot. And like those Wednesday nights in Lloyd like last semester were just some of my favorite nights, just because I got to see like some of my best friends, but also just provide like feedback to people that ask me questions like about their like internships or anything like that. So just being able to be in that community just like meant a lot. And passing on the torch to Kate was really never a question for me either. And so with Grow the Game, the president is chosen between the vice presidents. And so Kate was really just like the standout person. She was really my right-hand man ever since it started. She was always there asking what she could help with and doing more than most people would, going above and beyond. And so that really sets her apart, and I know she's going to make Grow the Game even better than what it is today.
And I think certainly, and I know anyone can take this from what you said here, but just to clarify, it's not a slight to any of the other VPs, certainly. Because all of them are fantastic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Brooke and Maddie, and I know Anna Zahorjak just got a VP position as well and everything, but all of them, great work that they've done throughout the year as well, and I'm sure they're all really excited to, as they have been, to work alongside you, that now they get to work alongside you.
Yeah, they've all been amazing. Everything that everybody does throughout this organization just makes a difference. Like, there's always going to be little tasks that need to be done, and those VPs, shout out to Maddie, Matt, Brooke, and then other Maddie, like, they've been these are my best friends throughout school, and Maddie and Matt, really, we started this with Justin as an idea our sophomore year and Maddie's freshman year, and just seeing how many people became involved and really became passionate about it just means a lot.
How exciting is it for you to work alongside those new VPs and kind of be their guiding compass in your senior year?
Yeah, it's super exciting, especially Anna, because she's younger, so yeah. To see her step up to a huge role as VP has been super awesome, and her being a player too has been super cool to see her go out to the schools, and like, she loves to play with the kids, so that's awesome. They've all been so great. Catherine, I worked with her when I was VP, so I worked alongside her for a while, but Catherine's been amazing, and she's kind of serving similar as I did with Savannah. She's kind of been my right-hand man too, so she's always willing to help out with anything. But no, they're all great, and all the returning VPs, obviously, they all know the drill by now, so they are nothing short of amazing. But no, everyone stepped in. It's made the transition really easy, honestly, because also I feel like before, we were all kind of working together anyway. We're not really like stuck on our specific VP position. So I think that's what made it easiest for me, because Savannah was really open about having me help out with any field, not just what I was VP of. So I think that's why I wasn't really scared to step into the position. I was more excited to like get to help everyone out and mentor people. But yeah, it's been awesome and super excited.
And I love especially what you mentioned about Anna being a player as well. And it certainly the passion for hockey is clear among all the execs and core of the game, especially the new ones. But when you have that player perspective, that just adds an even deeper layer to it. So you have sort of that player representation on there. And I know, Preston, you and I have talked about how exciting it is to see these hockey events with the kids and everything. And that just adds an even deeper layer to it with Anna Zorjak being involved and being able to start growing up the hockey side in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and I think that community outreach is obviously a very integral step in building a program like that. Because, you know, once you have a big enough generated interest, you can maybe do things like, you know, have the town put in a hockey rink or something like that. And that comes from the demand for it. So obviously starting these kids when they're young and really just kind of getting the interest to flow across the whole, like, county and stuff, that all does tremendous numbers. Because, you know, for us, we're going out to Pelham and stuff. So that's not just talking about Tuscaloosa. That's talking about Tuscaloosa and the surrounding areas, too. That way they're not having to go to Pelham as well. So, you know, if that was something that could happen, everyone could start making their way towards here if it's closer. And I think that, you know, what you mentioned about doing stuff with the kids and everything, that is a very integral first step. And I think the whole organization has hit a home run with it so far.
I know the easy answer is, well, my goal is to grow the game. But as president, you've certainly got some ideas in different directions you want to take, as well as building off of the things that Savannah has laid. But as president, what are your first steps and the first goals you have going into this next year?
Yeah, Preston kind of touched on it, but definitely community engagement. I think that's solely what we've been focusing on this spring semester and fall. Kind of an early works, but we kind of want to do like a Tuscaloosa world tour kind of situation with schools. Because we went to Tuscaloosa Magnet last fall, and that was awesome. But I think something about Big Sandy, they were so fired up, and it was just like, that was the moment for me too, where I was like, we need to go to literally every single school. And now we did fundraising in the fall to be able to purchase our own street hockey equipment, like floor hockey equipment, which is also super helpful because Tuscaloosa Magnet actually had their own, or did we use soccer goals? Yeah, so they had their own stuff, but a lot of schools here don't. So that's kind of what was stopping us from going to different schools, is that they didn't have the equipment, neither did we. So now we have like a bunch of sets of sticks, pucks, balls, nets, everything, to be able to bring it to different schools around Tuscaloosa. And so I think that's going to be our obviously main focus, because as Preston said, like, if the demand's there, then we can have an actual case to put behind a reason to build a rink. But I think also trying to get the parents out there and see is something really special too, because I feel like kids, especially in elementary school, they'll go home and be like, yeah, I had fun today, like every single day, if they had a great day. But I think for them to go home and tell their parents, like, they've been, this one kid specifically, I will remember him always. He was like a star baseball player. Like the coach was even saying, like, he's on like 2 travel baseball teams, whatever, his whole life. And he was like, he had crazy shots. Like, he was making every goal. It was so funny. And he would get like so fired up about it. And then he was the one who told his parents that he wanted to sell his baseball gear. And he's been playing baseball his whole life, but like, that's genuinely how much he loved hockey in that, from that one small moment. So I'm really excited for his, I hope his parents come and would be able to like see him actually play and how much he had fun. But I think just getting the parents involved too, and if we can keep going to a bunch of schools, and progressively, as the organization grows and we have more people, get wider and wider, till we maybe reach Birmingham, but yeah, trying to pull everyone there to back us behind the goal of building a rink in Tuscaloosa.
I tell you, that has to be incredibly fulfilling for you, on the whole starting the idea of let's get involved in the community, the stadiums, and hearing stories like that. That's where you think, and I know we talked about this whole thing of you know, this girl from Canada coming down to Tuscaloosa and bringing hockey to the side. But that has to be pretty much a moment of, I know I did something right with all this working out.
Yeah, I know. I've been, like, going through, like, Instagram, and I'll just, like, see, like, posts that Girl Games making. And, like, usually, I'll be the one telling Kate this, like, this past year, like, oh, we need to get this posted. And just see, like, how much they're doing this year in... Like, I saw this TikTok they made of, it was, like, the Hoosiers Young one, and all the players just interacting with the kids in that video. It makes Andy really just made my heart feel good, because I know that there's people that are going to take this organization and just make it even, like, bigger. And building a rink in Tuscaloosa would benefit us so much, so much. And I know Kate is going to make the stride to eventually get that to happen here.
Yeah, and I know Georgia has seemed to set the standard now for that. And granted, they have a minor league hockey team that's backing them on that side. But I remember we were at Aikens Ford Arena for the playoffs. And imagine you have that sort of scale arena in Tuscaloosa. That would be incredible, just to have that sort of access in the backdrop, and also not have to worry about being relegated to practice rinks or worrying about changing times. You remember that press
call? Oh, yeah.
Practice rink for some of those games and everything. Those were
practice rinks.
That was a lot of fun. But it's just one of those where it's these small strides that are going towards something big, and hopefully the university gets it. University of Alabama officials, let's build the rink in Tuscaloosa. Here's my idea. Before COVID, the Coleman was going to be essentially retired, and they were going to build a new basketball rink just outside softball stadium. Whenever they build that new basketball arena, if they end up doing it, let's repurpose Coleman. Let's make that the rink. Keep it on campus, and that way it's in the athletics facilities and everything, and just repurpose it.
Well, the one thing that we realized with Grow the Game is we want the city to be able to utilize the facilities. So that's one thing we kind of steer away from, was asking the university to do it and getting on campus, just because people in the community wouldn't be able to go to this facility.
Yes, that's work for
you. Isn't UREC in the, don't you have community memberships with it? Like, can't people use the rec center from if they're not students at Alabama?
Yeah, because I think it's like a gym.
Okay, so that might be part of it.
Like, it's a membership type of thing.
Now, that's the question. Where in Tuscaloosa would you build the rink? Like, I know there's no shortage of land and such, but where would it be built that's most ideal?
I feel like the most ideal place, you guys know, like, McFarland, and you know, like, the bridge where Stadium Center was supposed to be?
Yeah, yeah.
That area right there would be perfect for a place. And I know, like, Kate mentioned the stuff about the kids, like, going home and telling their parents and stuff like that. And so, like, that's, like, one thing I'm going to be doing with my thesis is providing them, like, surveys and stuff that they can present home to these parents, and also work with Dr. Bob, who's the new graduate coordinator for the sport manager program. And I actually had a meeting with him yesterday about the stuff that I wanted to do with my research. And he had heard some stuff about a growing game, and I told him what I wanted to do with it. And just seeing like a professor like that just become like so invested in like what us students are doing and wanting to help us was just like amazing to see, and like I'm glad we'll be able to assist them with that side of things in the future.
And to get to actually apply your graduate work to something you're passionate about and that can actually make a meaningful change, that's the biggest thing about it as well. I know you got one more year at the Capstone, but you know the times are winding down, and it, there's one thing we know, not just on Savannah's end, but a lot of us are getting into this sappy post mode where we're getting all the reflection and nostalgia and everything. I know Preston had it with A-Day and has had it with a couple of things this year. I haven't had mine yet. It'll be at some point. We had our sappy moment for, we're going to have it for the next episode for the finale as well, where we had all the crew on board. But I know that there's a lot of emotions and a lot of joy, and as well as just sentiments of I hate that it's over, but I enjoyed it happening and such. So what stands out most in your mind thus far with your experience at the Capstone?
So Kira Duffy actually just made her senior post today from when we talked to them. So I'll probably say just like my experience with them, and then also with like being able to like lead early game has probably been the best part of my time at the Capstone, just because I've met like some of my best friends. Like I've met Kate, and I've met all the girls on the team, and Mia, Reagan, like everybody involved within staff. They've all become some of my best friends because they, you know, they're all so willing to put in the work for this, and they think they spend, we all spend so much time together. And I'm not going to be able to work with the women's hockey team this next year because, you know, I'm staying unbiased as a commissioner. So I think that this will probably be my best time for the Capstone. I'm super thankful of people like the hockey community has brought me, because it's led me to where I am today and maybe the person I am today. So shout out to all the people involved with Alabama Hockey and Burley Dame. You guys are the best.
There might be a little slight smirk from Savannah whenever the Alabama women's hockey team does something successful, but we know that you and Commissioner Nell are going to do great things in terms of growing the women's division as well. Especially exciting times with new teams coming in this year as well.
18 women's teams next year.
You said 18 total? Whew, that's it. How many were we at last year? Was it 8 or 10?
It was
that.
Around, I think it was 13, including the teams that were playing, so like playing with Tennessee.
That's right, because there's some of them that have taken like a stoppage year or something. But yeah, 18 teams. That whole lot of growth in the women's division of hockey. Good to see from what we were able to witness this year.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to be keeping a close eye on College Hockey South as far as that's continues, because I'm planning on, you know, being a writer with them and continuing my hockey adventure. So, yeah, so I am going to be looking forward to seeing how that goes along. Because Alabama, they played a lot of, you mentioned earlier, there's teams that were not playing this year, and we've seen that. So it's going to be interesting to see how Alabama adapts to that climate with all of these different teams entering the fray and being, you know, Alabama seeing them for the first time. So I'm definitely excited to see that going forward.
Now, I know you've got one more year, so all the sappy posts, you got a year to worry about this stuff. But at least from your almost 3 years completed now time in the Capstone, what stands out the most in your mind is some of the more meaningful experiences?
Definitely the senior. I'm already getting sappy because I'm like, in my mind, like, people stay the same grade as when I met them.
Yeah.
Like, it's such this weird thing. Like, my big and my sorority, I swear, she's, like, always a sophomore. And then Savannah, like, she will just always be a junior in my head. And then I'm like, wait, I'm going to be a senior. Like, that, it just doesn't make sense in my head, and I don't think I'll process it till I probably graduate. So it's, like, really scary that it's already here. But definitely, like, some of the most influential people in my college career have been seniors, Savannah obviously included, but not only in hockey, but Grow the Game and all of my other jobs and positions, they are all seniors that I can think of off the top of my head. So, and they're all people I work with on a daily basis, so not having that next year is really scary for me. And seeing their sappy posts is sad for me. Like, I'm like, guys, like, don't leave. But I'm really happy Savannah's staying. But obviously, just like, it all goes by so fast, and I remember like being a freshman like it was yesterday, and I was like, oh my god, like this year is so long, like this is gonna take forever, and not knowing like what I wanted to do, like not knowing if I still want to be a PR major, all this stuff, to like now looking back at it, how much has changed in the last 3 years I've been here, and how much this like place really sets you up for success, and like you meet all the right people, met my best friends here, met all my mentors, and all this stuff. It's just, I'm like 24/7 sappy every time I see someone. I'm like, how like did all this happen? But it's just like everything happens for a reason, and it's so cool. Like you said, like I'm so happy all this happened, but I'm still sad it's over. Every year I feel this, but I think this is the first year I've really been like, the seniors are leaving, like the grade above me is leaving. So then it's like, what's after that is scary. But no, just I don't know.
I'm
going
to see you without Maddie next year.
I know.
Yeah, but Maddie and Natalie both are graduating as well. Because I remember that it's still the longest episode we've had on Frozen Hour. And it was a good one with the conversation back and forth. But yeah, it's going to be sad not seeing them.
Yeah, me and Maddie have, this last year became like attached at the hip.
Yeah.
Which is sad too, because she's a senior and she's leaving. And she's living in California. So
yeah,
that's going to be hard for sure. She's one of my best friends, but I don't know. We're going to see. It's like the unknown kind of, but I'm excited, and I've heard it goes by even faster when you're a senior. So I'm just going to try to ride it out and see.
I'm sure Maddie will be back in some capacity.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure she's going to visit it. Because, again, you can't stay away from the football game days. Like, there will be at least be one weekend.
Oh, yeah. She's going to come back all the time. I don't know if it's going to be for football. She's not the biggest football
fan. That's true.
But, I mean, she'll come back.
Yeah,
she'll come back. Like, she was like, if you ever need me there, I'll really fly there.
Every time we see Kate walking into a birthday meeting last semester, Maddie would always be right behind her. They'd always be together. So
try being 16 semesters straight in college too. That was me. I'm ready to be done.
Yes.
I'm so ready to be past the session. By the way, we've talked about the influence that people have had and everything. The Celsius. Notice it probably came from you. It's not the lemon lime flavor though.
Alabama girl,
they're
all
down.
Everybody loves Celsius.
Everyone's just busy.
Yeah.
They just need it.
There's Celsius. Apparently, a bunch of them love their 7 Brew. I don't know if that's on your preference.
God.
Okay, so 7 Brew.
I've never been.
You've never
been?
The
line is ridiculous.
I go at like
9
p.m. That's when it's short.
Go to a coffee shop at 9 in the evening?
Yeah, before practices. Yeah.
That's true, because you have the late practices and go to like 11 or 12.
One time I was literally past cookout. On the street. I'm like, there's no, like, there has
it's
to be something going on.
These deals. It's like, buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
But, like, why? Do you need to? Like, I don't understand.
Well, because you remember, I know you didn't get the chance to meet Berkeley Mezzanotti. She's a huge 7 Brew fan. And we are driving into the campus, and she's like, I got to have my 7 Brew. I saw it was in there. And we start driving. She sees the line and goes, what? She goes, I want to get out of this car and go to every car and go, which store are you in? Okay, thank you. Which store are you in? Thank you. So she loves her cinnamon roll, iced coffee.
Okay.
Loves the cinnamon roll stuff.
That's the thing, too. I don't like sweet coffee, really.
Okay.
So I don't think I should go.
You don't have to get flavors on the stuff that they have. They do have some options on there and such. What's the coffee order standard for Caitlin Manning?
Well, I normally get like a quad shot of espresso.
Quad shot?
It's seven shots.
Okay. Well, then maybe I
should
go that.
Chill down. I just go for like the energy booster at the crazy stick.
I'm concerned for not only your heart rates, also your kidneys.
Well, normally, okay, so I'm in this new thing recently where I'm trying to save money. So I've been making my own coffee because I was like addicted to Starbucks. But you can use dining dollars, but now I'm all out of dining dollars, so it's like coming out of my own money.
I'm just like, I'm in this new thing where I'm saving money. That's like me just looking at the camera. You know, I have this weird condition where I don't like people. So it's like the same logic on that.
No, like I'm really trying. So I've been making my own coffee, which honestly, I like it a lot better. It's just kind of a little bit more.
What's the coffee machine at home? Is it like K-Pod?
It's an espresso.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I do like 4 shots.
Okay. What is your coffee stuff, Preston? I don't know if we've ever had this conversation.
So instead of 7 Brew, I just go across the street to the Sprint gas station and I get a Hershey's Frappuccino for $1.96 and call it a day.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Forgo the line.
Saving money.
See, I very rarely am on the coffee side. Like there are times where I'll have a Red Bull in the morning, but my reaction to caffeine
is
worse.
Morning. crazy.
Well, that's worse.
Well, here's very rare. It's like if I know I'm like, because I used to have to teach 8 a.m. classes, which right. all of us have been like, the amount of people I've seen, Celsius, Red Bull, Monster, Rockstar, and all those among the students. But like, it's one of those, when you are on minimal sleep as a doctoral student already, and you have to set your alarm for like 6:30 to be able to get up and get to campus, everything. It's like, you need something to get through.
Right.
I started waning off a little bit. I went to those little Starbucks espresso and cream little things. So those are decent, but like, my body is weird in that if I have caffeine after noon, like between noon or something, I stay up the entire night. Like, it has to be in the morning to like fully flow through my system.
Caffeine like doesn't affect me like that. Like, I could drink, one time I drink Celsius at Capstan and see out like 8 p.m. And then I go to bed.
That's why when she was saying 9 p.m. and going in the line for like 7 room, I'm like, how do you get to sleep?
It's just like a tolerance.
It just gives me a little boost for like an hour.
Yeah.
And like knocked out on the way back home.
This is what we call a caffeine dependency at this point, is what's developed in the college game. So Berkeley got me into 7 Brew, so like it's all right. I also had one of their chocolate chip muffin tops, because they actually have like the pastry stuff, which is pretty good. If you ever go to 7 Brew, you can do the regular coffee, iced coffee, or they have chillers, which is basically like
frosted.
Yeah, it's like a frosted coffee and Chick-fil-A or something like that. So it's that stuff is pretty good. So what's your 7 Brew order?
It's a pixie stick chiller.
Pixie stick chiller, okay. What is that? Basically like fun dip in a cup?
Yeah, basically a Red Bull. Or like an energy drink.
Okay, that might not be my way. Dentists are happy at the consumption patterns of the Prefontaine, but how do we start talking about coffee? We're supposed to be talking about hockey and growing the game. Well, you can't grow the game without caffeine. You can't grow the game without caffeine.
I would not be able to do anything for growing the game.
I'm surprised none of you have said anything about Dunkin'. Like, none of you said anything should like Dunkin' Donuts or anything.
Yeah, I would more like people like from Boston.
It's a northern. In high school, when I was in Chicago, we would all go to Dunkin'. And it was good there, though, but every Dunkin's different.
Yeah.
Like, if you go, we had one good location, and so we all went to that one. And the other location really messed it up. I feel like it's really consistent. But when I was a freshman and I had, like, the meal swipes, whatever, I would go to Dunkin' on campus.
How much do you customize your drinks at Starbucks when you were on the Starbucks side?
I just get quad shot with oat milk and a pump of vanilla.
Okay, it's not too bad. Were you ever on the Starbucks train?
I'm not a huge Starbucks person. I just like the refreshers.
Yeah, they got some good refreshers. I also love that. I don't know how much you've ever had their like breakfast sandwiches or like the pastries. No, not Starbucks.
Oh.
Like, I love their chocolate croissants are good. They also had, I'm trying to remember, not like a breakfast. They had like a spinach and feta wrap.
Yeah.
Add the sriracha sauce to it. That has some really good stuff. I don't have Starbucks as much as I should. Annie is laughing at us about our Starbucks obsession in the background, as you should. I posted yesterday when I went to 7 Brew. I was chatting out Berkeley, like Missy Berkeley and everything. Someone responded and said, Spencer's in his white girl era. I'm like, you can have the stereotype that you want, but like, I also have two sisters who also enjoy coffee as well. So like, I guess I'm just embracing my sister's side or something.
Yeah.
But, and anyways, we've gone off the rails about coffee. This is not the odd topic, which it probably should have been. But so our odd topic that we discussed is that, so technically the hockey teams are rec sports, or technically they're within the rec situation with the team. But we all have different ways that we try to decompress, we try to unwind and entertain ourselves. So recreational activities. I'll start with you on this, Preston. Outside of your responsibilities with sports media, and I know one of the obvious answers for him is watching Bama sporting stuff, but what do you find is a good decompression method for you outside of the hockey side?
So it's not necessarily something I do, but did you know that Bama has a bass fishing team?
No.
Yeah, and I would say if there was something I would do recreationally, it would probably be that.
Fishing?
Yeah, just chilling, just going fishing. School prom while doing it.
Do you have a fishing rod?
Yes, I do.
You got a lure?
Yes, I'm in Alabama, so I just got the wrong lure. There's no way to just throw it in there and hope it's stupid enough to bite.
Yeah, my parents used to have a lake house right on the border of Tennessee and Alabama in Ardmore. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but there's a man-made lake there, and my dad loves fishing. Like, we love going for hours. He'd leave at like 8 in the morning, come back at 8 at night, just like sitting out on the, that was his decompression method, was, you know, fishing. They also had some really big catfish in that lake too. There was one he caught that was like a foot long and almost like 20 pounds.
Yeah, some people, you know, they do certain activities to kind of just get the rage out and just go with the motions, but I don't know, bass fishing, I just sit there and just look at the sun.
You strike me as the type of guy to wear like the fisherman's shirt as well as the bucket hat and just like going out casting out a lure or something, maybe have a stoogie or like something like that, a glass of scotch or whatever.
Well, see, and in redneck territory, you gotta do the Bass Pro Shops hat. You gotta take a lure and then skewer it through the bill of the head and then skewer it through the net and then you just wear your bait as decoration and then you go fishing that way.
If we do not have this as Preston's next LinkedIn profile picture, that we need to make that happen.
Professional bass fisher.
He just has the look of him smiling with holding a prize fish or something like that. So that,
yeah,
that,
hold it closer to the camera so it looks bigger than it really is.
I am gonna call my dad after this and say, hey, we need to go fishing. I wanna go back to that. So Caitlin, outside of the hockey side, how do you decompress?
I have several ways, actually. One is shopping, but now I'm saving money.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's...
So I'm resorting to the outdoors. If it's sunny outside, I'm tanning. Like, I love just laying there in the sun because I feel like I'm being productive because I'm tanning, but I'm, like, not doing anything. I really like to go to the dog park recently. I have a dog, and we found Will May Dog Park. It's, like, by McFarland, kind of like in Northport, and we've spent like 2 hours there, and it's just so fun. Oh, yeah. And we like have our little dog park friends now, so that's really enjoyable. There's like a little walking trail you can walk around. What else do I do? I really like Pure Bar. It's a workout class.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And pickleball is really, really fun. Me and my roommate, we go like probably like twice a week. Every week, and you just stay there for hours.
I'm sure you're ecstatic about the University of Alabama announcing the new pickleball expansion.
No, I actually wasn't, because I was like, why aren't they building a hockey rink right now?
Well, okay, fair, but
like,
in terms
we already
of
have pickleball.
That is true. They have those that combine like tennis and pickleball, they're adding on more because of the trend of it and such. But,
well,
yeah.
The self, baby. Yeah, you got all the priorities in order here.
I mean, I know they lost the Atlanta Thrashers, but like, it's still one of those. It's just more salt in the wound on them losing that franchise and all that. I remember when the first interaction I had in Savannah. So LinkedIn likes to update your location based on your latest job, and hers said Atlanta. So I thought, okay, Savannah's from Atlanta. I'll say something because a news article had come out about the guy's name from TNT, Anson Carter, was interested in getting ownership and bringing Thrashers back. And I asked her, you going to become the partial owner for that? She's like, no, I'm actually going to be from Edmonton. I was like, I thought you were from Georgia. No, I'm from Edmonton. Great first impressions. I did my research on Savannah. But.
So I'm originally from Canada, and then my dad moved us to Georgia.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So I like to claim that I'm from Canada just because like, that's where I was born.
Okay, so I was half right.
Yeah.
I was half right. It made for a good story, and somehow she still kept me around. So I did something right. But yeah, last thought I'll say on the on your decompression methods, yeah, that's unfortunate with the shopping side, especially because that Tuscaloosa Mall has some really good options. And they got some other
They also have palm trees.
That is true.
Which is really nice in the winter.
Yeah.
I think it takes us to the online shopping.
Oh, online. Okay, so online. Because the other thing I will say is because like back in Tennessee we have the Cool Springs Galleria, which is basically a lot smaller compared to the other malls, but still one of those good double floor, good to walk around, stroll and everything. And my sisters were also big when they were younger in Plato's Closet. I don't know if you ever really have gone there, gone to that.
I take a lot of my clothes there. I like online shopping because It like stresses Plato's Closet stresses me out. Like I can't. I also don't have the time to sit there and like look through every single thing.
That's true.
So like if I know I want something, I'll just Google it and just get it. But Plato's Closet, it's great. I sell my clothes there, but it is kind of like a scam. Like I'll drop off like a 200-pound bag of clothes and they'll give me like $50. I'm like,
yeah.
So it's like if you're gonna throw the clothes away, maybe do it. But like I don't think.
Do not tell Caitlin there is a student Amazon Prime membership because she will start going down the shopping trail and all of that because those algorithms know how to target you.
The best part about Amazon is under my dad, so that's not real money. So I love Amazon. So that's the best part.
You just put it in the cart in the wish list to be like, Dad, I have my stuff ready here.
Exactly. Oh, that's
a magic checkout button.
Yeah, it's like a game. I
don't know how this purchase happened.
As far as at home, they have an Alexa that's obviously synced to Amazon, and so it announces when everything's delivered, and it'll be like, I don't know what I ordered random things. It's like, new phone case delivered to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And my dad's like, what?
he just called me like, hey, Caitlin, what happened here? Why do I have $200 on the charger? It's like, I needed all this stuff. Your decompression ends. I know you're busy, but I know you have.
No, like, I've had so much free time on my hands recently, like, with, like, putting off these, like, positions. Like, I was, like, a workaholic there for a minute, so, like, I kind of been trying to find my decompression stuff, but I've actually started going on runs.
Oh, good.
Running has, like, actually been, like, my breath of fresh air recently, so I've been really enjoying running just, like, around, like, the downtown area. Wake up in the morning, usually, so it's cool. Been reading a lot, too. Trying to get some good books in,
if you want
me book good book recommendations, let me know.
Any of the Lord of the Rings books. Those ones are all good. Chronicles of Narnia is also really good. I'm reading those fully through. The only ones I have not read from that are Horse and His Boy and The Last Battle. I've read the other five. But I was about to ask, because you said you're doing runs, do you go by Jack Warner on like that River Parkway?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's one of those things I've walked around downtown Tuscaloosa and on campus and everything. Shout out to one of the original university presidents who said, I want to make this a walkable campus, because it's just, I love being able to, I can't remember who I was talking to about this last week, but just something about, I have yet to find a college campus like Alabama's that actually looks like a college campus. And like, I've been to several of the other ones and visited different places, and just something about Alabama, not just from the people who walk out the middle of University Boulevard and take their grad photos. Shout out to you people blocking traffic. But it's that. But it's just.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. But there's just something about when you drive down University Boulevard, especially in like the fall or the spring when the leaves are on. It just, I don't know what it is. Just something about it just screams, this is a college campus.
I think my favorite's like when they're setting up all the tents on the quad before a big game. I remember like the day before, Friday before the Georgia game, I felt like it was like Christmas Eve. I was like, oh my god. And then like all the frat guys are on university like with their American flags. Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, like this is a movie. Like this is no way it was real.
It always amazes me during the football games. Like both the, it's weird how this fall there's not really a marquee game on the Bama football schedule. I mean, there is like Tennessee at home and maybe the Vanderbilt game just because of what happened last year. But like, Texas and Georgia, you had 200,000 people descend upon the city when there's only 100,000 seats in the stadium and everything. That tailgating at that Georgia game was fun this past year, though.
I'm excited about it because I have to work all the home football games, so I'm excited to go to Georgia.
I like how you had a smile on it and saying, I have to work and stuff. You didn't say, like, well, I have to work the games or anything.
No, I love working.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's exciting for me, especially because it's my senior year.
Yep.
So I'm excited to get to go to, like, I want to go to all the away games. And they're all, like, somewhat close. So.
Yeah. And you also get to see one more year of Gianna Lorino's chair awareness.
Yes.
I remember we talked about that the last time.
I'm really excited to have her for this fall for football.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. And I know you're excited because you get to stay one more year. You get to opt into student tickets once again, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Graduate student tickets.
And those are automatically assigned to the lower bowl, too. Now, I assume you probably have enough title and points to get the full season ticket.
No, actually, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm not a huge football person. I'm probably going to two football games this year. So,
you know me.
She's still gonna claim them, and then I still remember. Now Maddie's graduated, so I can say this at this point. She said something of like reselling the home student tickets were her cover fees for Innes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like the fact that she, I think she said she sold a Georgia ticket for a decent amount of money. And she's like, that is my whole cover fees for the year. I'm like, wait a second. How expensive are these cover fees getting at Innes at this point to where you're having to, like,
no,
one
it's
ticket?
It's ridiculous. And I was so mad last year because every year since I've had to, like, work the games, I've always bought them. And, like, you get the whole package for, like, $80 or something. Like, so cheap. And then obviously resell them. But sweet Chris Mollenbach forgot to register. So then he was like begging me for them. I was like, oh my god. I like gave him my Georgia one, gave him like all, like I'm just such a nice person, but I was like, I could have made like $800. So this year I like made sure.
You just gave someone your Georgia ticket and didn't charge him for it? I should have texted you first, because I had to pay one of my colleagues. Now, he didn't screw me over on the ticket pricing, but I had to pay, I think it was $150 for his ticket, which still, a lot of
cheap.
No, yeah, it was cheap.
Well, if we're going for like 800.
Shout out to Alex Booth, because he had to work that night for WBUA, and you know, he told me, he's like, I'm not going to over gouge you, but I'm also not going to be unreasonable with what I could get for it and such. So we met in the middle at $150 and got to use it. And that's how Anya got to go to the Georgia game, because he didn't screw me over on the ticket price and everything. So that was a lot of fun too. And what a game to witness too. Like, you think about over the last couple of years, I know we talked about like great memories we've had at the Caps and everything, but I think that tops it in terms of like probably the games you guys have gone to.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if you had any other, because you've also got to work behind the scenes and some of that. I would say Texas maybe, but it also that was also a loss on that. So.
So I made sure. So this past year was the first year where I've worked every single game. Mm-hmm. The year prior, I think I worked like half of them, a little over half. So Texas was a game because my family all is from Texas and all went to Texas. So that was like my Super Bowl. It was like a huge game for me. And so I made sure I wasn't working so I could like have my friends come and all that stuff. So that was actually probably one of my worst memories. But the Georgia game for sure was like, that was like the coolest game to work ever also. Obviously with all the people that were in attendance too, we had to deal with like getting them to the press box and everything of that sort. So it was really cool. A lot of like behind the scenes stuff that we normally don't do. But yeah, that was like a great learning experience, and like the flyover and stuff was awesome.
No, I mean, it was cool to be in the same stadium as a city president, or basically president-elect at that point. It was, that part was cool. It was irritating that they blocked off the security gates, and like, because we had a couple of us, I was with Noah Kessler and a couple other the hockey folks, and we thought we could just enter in. We did from like the backside of Reese Pfeiffer, and then it's like, oh no, they have been blocked out because Trump is entering here, so we had to go out of security and go all the way around.
Get
wanded down and all that stuff. So that was it was also, you know, interesting to see like they had the physical buses that were blocking like the roadways and everything to be more secure and all that. So
and just
was,
for us to like anytime we beat Georgia, it's great. But like I think at that point we really weren't expecting to beat them. And so that was just like. Like, I sobbed after, like, in the press box, obviously, you can't cheer or anything, so me and, like, my coach, we're all standing there, like, holding each other's hands, like, oh my god, like, we were so excited.
I still love my favorite memory I'll ever have, so, like, Anya was with me, and we were obviously socializing with all the hockey folks, like, up at the Grow the Game section you guys had or whatever, and we see, it was when Ryan Williams had the catch, like, we were on the opposite end zone, and that was the week after he had come for the hockey games and everything, so he was in the bench and all that, and we're looking, and Anya just has this look of like shock, flabbergasted, and then she's got the pom pom or whatever, and she starts going, I coach with him, so she had such a field day with it, and that was a lot of fun, but it helped that it was a W, but you're right, no one expected, I don't even think you being in the seats, you didn't expect us to win that one.
Yeah, the
yeah, okay. Well, that's
all over. I'm lucky. I have full confidence.
He's on a long trip, sure. He can't really.
Yeah, that's true. We can't hate on him and such. But yeah, I mean, it also we had the highs and then we had the lows of Vanderbilt like the next week or two. So it was a roller coaster of the season and everything. Just like it's been a roller coaster for the hockey scene in this year on all the different teams and everything. And at the center of it has been the future. I know I'm not. I would like to think I was the first one who thought this in my head, the Prefontaine Ice Center. Before people started commenting and saying stuff on social media, but no, because when I saw someone say that like pre-fund the ice center, I'm like, I did not say this to anyone who stole it.
But they don't have enough money to build a rink here. I will.
I know they could. Oh, well, at a minimum, we'll do the Prefontaine general manager's office. We'll do. Well, I'll make sure there's some naming or dedication or whatever. Because
a statue up front.
Oh yeah. Statue. It'll be a Celsius in one hand, a hockey puck in the other, or something.
Yeah,
but thank you both for coming back on the podcast and carving out the time.
You
know, it's you know, I always make the mantra of that I have to work harder in this industry because of so many incredible colleagues that work even harder than me. These two are going to be the reason I don't have a job because of how incredibly hard these two work. You are going to be incredible with the with Grow the Game and the next steps you have in leading the organization. I know you're going to stick around for a year to help them in any way they need. Not that she's going to need it that much because she's going to kill it. But I know you two are going to do great things beyond the walls of the Caps and everything. We just appreciate you always allowing us into your world and getting a little slice of all that. So, and not for looking at me and saying skip it, just like her Gap says. Like, yeah, we'll accept the everything. So, Preston, any final thoughts before we? I don't like that. Anytime I ask him this question, he looks like the horror movie Smile. Like he looks like the people who are paid to stand behind the World Series, like home plate, just do the stuff. So, yeah. But any final thoughts as we wrap up this episode? He does this every time.
Cool.
He says, "Is that it? It's just a yeah."
Yeah.
See, he forgets that we're on an audio medium too, so for those who are listening, he's just smiling at the camera and not saying anything. You have to remind the listeners of it at times. But.
Before we end it, I want to say thank you to you both for all the work you guys done for the women's team. You guys really gave them a voice and put their name out there. So, and for the podcast, like, this podcast wouldn't be here without you two, and like everybody around behind the scenes too, to Amy, yes. Jaden, and everybody else. So, and Hannah, thank you guys for all that you guys do. And then I'm excited to see everything you do with Grow the Game. So, yeah, thank you, Spencer.
Happy birthday, Spencer.
We're recording this on April 15th on Tuesday and everything. So I jokingly said to them on email when we scheduled this, don't say I didn't do anything for you because we're working on the birthday and everything. But much appreciated from you both. And that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. We got one more finale episode coming up where we have all the hosts that are on. They get to give their reflection and their final sentiments as we head into the off season before somebody else takes up the reins for it. So be sure to tune in for that next week. For Savannah Prefontaine, Caitlin Manning, Preston McElhaney, our producer Andy Sakalis, as well as Jaden Watson, all the hardworking men and women that make this run so smoothly. I'm Spencer Townsend saying so long from Reese Piper Hall. Another episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. That's been